One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Today on The Grave Talks, the spirits of the Grand Midway Hotel, a conversation with Blair Murphy. Blair Murphy was working in LA as an independent filmmaker when a unique opportunity was presented to him. He and some friends had wanted to find some place to move to for about a year when they discovered a hotel on eBay for $11,000. It was the Grand Midway Hotel. Despite never stepping foot in the town of Windber, Pennsylvania, let alone stepping foot into the hotel, they purchased it. The Grand Midway Hotel, though no longer operational as a hotel, is still inhabited by guests, numerous ghostly guests, including Martha, a young woman who met her untimely demise on the hotel's balcony while watching fireworks on the 4th of July. Legend has it that a rocket struck her neck, claiming her life instantly. Additionally, the hotel's bar was the site of an unsolved murder. Human bones were found within its walls, and there are stories of a child buried in the basement. Adding to its mystique, the Grand Midway Hotel boasts two Guinness Book of World Records for the largest Ouija board on its rooftop and the largest tarot card painted on the ceiling. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the spirits of the Grand Midway Hotel with owner Blair Murphy. So Blair, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to talk about the Grand Midway Hotel. The more I dove into this, the more interesting it became to me. And the way you ended up with this hotel is so interesting.
Yeah, I was in Los Angeles and I was working. I'm an independent feature filmmaker. And I started thinking, I guess I would just say magically, where I thought, I'm not here to do films for like a career, a business career. I'm here to be involved with, here on the planet, to be involved with magic and summoning certain things, and film is just a tool. And my whole world just kind of changed with this paradigm shift. And then this hotel presented itself. A buddy of mine and his wife and I were looking for a place to relocate just for a year. And his wife said, hey, there's this hotel on eBay for $11,000 that unless someone buys it, they're going to tear it down immediately. And a week later, I was living there. And it's just, and then just like one thing after another, like people just started giving us items from other museums, and then people were volunteering to do murals there, and it just kind of manifested itself, and it's still, you know, it's still going. It's been changing over and over again. And last year was very popular. I was kind of amazed at the amount of strangers that have come through. And so we're on a roll.
So $11,000, you found the place on eBay of all sites, which I thought was interesting. Did you buy it sight unseen, just looking at pictures basically? Or did you go there first and go, okay, we'll give you 11 grand for this?
Well, what happened was when you buy something on eBay for, I think it's over 10 grand, this whole like page or several pages of things you have to fill out. We didn't know that. So we lost the bid. I waited till like the last second to bid on it. And we lost the bid. So I flew out anyway. And that was the first I saw. And I said to the real estate people, sell me it. I'm gonna buy in this place. And they were like, no, you didn't win the bid. Just get out. Hollywood guy, get out of here. And, but I just felt like I'm going to end up here. And a week later they called me and they said, yeah, the other people don't want it. If you still want it, it's yours. And so I moved in and saw it sight unseen but it was like the building found us. To be honest with you, I really felt that way, that I feel like the building was like, hey, they're going to tear me down. I got to find some crazy people. They're going to move in and take me over. And then we just got reached out to buy the place. It seemed like that anyway. I know it sounds kooky, but
it doesn't sound kooky. It doesn't, because I've talked to so many people who have said a similar thing. Like there's one guy I talked to, he also bought a hotel. And he went in there just to look at it. It was an antique store at that time, but it had been built as a hotel. Walked in, and he's like, it was like this voice in his head. It's like, you got to buy this hotel. And he bought it. He just felt like the same way that the building chose him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt. And I'm a big kind of blind faith person myself. That's just how I roll. I'm very much... I'm just like, I close my eyes and just go by intuition. And so it just was a big leap of faith, which is just, that's just me. And so it worked out real nice.
You've never even been to Windber, Pennsylvania, is my guess.
Correct. I didn't even know that coal mining towns still existed. And so when I got here, I saw some people with eyeliner that were dressed kind of like lumberjacks though. And I thought, wow, those are really odd looking goth people, and it was coal mine dust. I just didn't even know
who are these lumberjacks with eyeliner. I've never seen this.
Yeah it was like that. a lot of culture shock. And now, the town was horrified with us. They thought we were drug dealers and Satanists and, you know, everything imaginable they were throwing at us. And because they wanted the building torn down. They did not want to. The building had a whole history we didn't know about. The haunting stuff started long before us, and so they didn't want to rescue this building. They just wanted it gone.
So was it one of those buildings that was kind of known as the haunted building, the haunted hotel? Like, did it have that kind of reputation in the town?
That's what I'm told. That I was told, like, people said, why would you? It's right in the center of town. If you were to throw a dart down on a map in the very center of the town, this building is there. And so there's no missing it when you come to town. And the people were like, why would you live there? Like, that's a horrible place. We started hearing stories, and people were telling us about earlier deaths and stuff. And so that was all. We were like, oh, bonus. We just thought they were all great stories, and which made it worse. And just the rumors were, you know, it was a small town, so people were suspicious and pretty unkind in the early days. Now they're used to me. It's been a while, but.
You know, it probably is a bit of a curiosity to them as well. Like, who are these people? Why would they want that building of all buildings? And then once you move in, it's kind of like, you know, we kind of like them.
Yeah.
And they saved part of the town's history.
We moved in with coffins and a lot of film equipment. And like, it was all suspicious looking stuff on top of it. The town does not include us as part of the history, even to this hour. They had a 120th anniversary last year, and they put a book out of all the old historic buildings, and did not a peep about. I own several buildings in town, so I'm up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 properties. So I just keep expanding, and they don't acknowledge it even.
Eventually, you'll own half the town, and they will have to acknowledge you.
It's an awful lot going on here that not not really acknowledged. I mean, we have Guinness World Awards and famous people coming into town now and celebrities and all. It's just been a lot for them to ignore, but they do. So
that's interesting to me.
They're not the base of the people that come here. I mean, obviously the people that come here are interested in this material and they're coming from afar. The community is just sort of tolerating me and whatever I'm doing here.
Now, when you first went into the hotel, you've purchased it, you now own it. What kind of shape was it in?
It was really beat up. It was really beat up. The family that sold it to us, the Timko family, are wonderful people. And they have stories that go back 50 years of big banquets, and they were a jazz family that had, and so they had a big, their father, Laddie Timko band, had a big jazz band that played and in the community. And so there's a lot of cool history, in particular music history, from like the 30s to when they finally sold the place. But the place was let, you know, it sat empty for a decade and windows were broken. And it was one of those things where like just kids were breaking in and it was the pipes were breaking. It was really getting worn down. So there was a lot of polishing.
Was there a time right after that where you were kind of like, what have I done? This is way more than I thought it was going to be. Because it looks from the outside, it looks like square foot wise, a very large building.
It is big. It's real big. 3 months into it, we winter hit, and it was everything. We were so naive. Everything froze. All the pipes froze. The toilets froze. The coffee maker froze, and it stayed frozen for a couple weeks. And we were there was no insulation in the walls. There was no heating system, so we were miserable. And if it was 6 degrees outside, it was 8 degrees inside. And we just suffered those first two winters. We went, it was just horrible. And we thought it went from like Bohemia paradise to what have we done? It just was crazy, the conditions. And we were very unhappy. And now we couldn't shower and people didn't like us and didn't want to give us jobs in any way. And it was rough for a while. By the second winter, my roommates said, we're leaving. We're not going to live in these conditions. And I stuck it out alone. And so there was a period of a couple of years where I was a little lost thinking, what have I done? I'm not going to quit, but I don't know what I'm doing here. But now it's very different now. Like I've got a heating system and it's been decades of people adding to the place. And it's really changed quite a bit.
What kept you motivated to keep going? Because it had to have been very expensive. And there had to have been a point where you're like, you know, I could walk away right now and just let it go. Was it kind of that draw that you had to the hotel that kept you going?
I just felt like I was supposed to be there and be doing these things. And again, like when I talk about like blind faith, I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. I just feel like I'll wake up and think, I need to make this and I'll build something. And I just keep going and going and going. And the place is like a big flower that just keeps opening more and more, and more people are stumbling on it and showing up and adding to the whole operation going on here. I can't leave. I'm committed. So the hardest part was the move here. Once I moved, I was in for the long run.
When you bought it, did you think at the time, or especially once you got there, I'm going to guess it was pretty evident, did you think, I have purchased a very haunted hotel, or I have possibly purchased a very haunted hotel? Because when you look at pictures of it, it does look like something out of a movie that would be haunted.
And people right off the bat told us lots of stories, and so it wasn't like we were just projecting it. Now my roommates were real skeptical. They're and are still to this day. Like there were some times where they got freaked out and weird things happened, but they didn't go into the paranormal the way I have. I mean, they were like, yeah, it's still a little creepy, but over time people like all these stories got fleshed out about people, like a murder in 1949, which is still unsolved to this day, and the family lives a block away still, and they brought us photos of their dead dad who got murdered in the bar, and a woman for the police showed up with a cadaver dog one day and walked us through the building, and then it went up to this one wall, and she said that saying there's remains in the wall. And so we broke open the wall and she pulled out human bone chips. And she came back the following week with nine dogs, and all nine dogs went up to the same wall and said, human remains, human remains, human remains. And so it's just, well, all this stuff's been unfolding. And the mayor at the time, his name was Art Palumbo. He was very nice to us. He was always saying, don't dig up these skeletons, you know, leave our town secrets. Just stop. You don't know what you're messing with. You're going to upset other people in town that, like, he didn't want us to solve some of the stuff.
That's interesting. There are secrets.
Yeah. So the family that sold us the place said that before they owned it, someone, an earlier family, lost a child and buried. And so they said, we should have told, this was a year later. They said, we have something to tell you. We should have told you a year ago when you bought the place. And they told us there's a grave in the basement, that there's a child buried down there. And the mayor was like, God damn it. Instantly he was upset about it. And, but it's just, they were all were gems to me, because I feel like I'm living, this girl Martha, who got killed by fireworks in 1911, like a rocket knocked her throat off and she died screaming over the whole community. I feel like I've been living with Martha for 20 years and she's been in my dreams and I feel like she's floating around me when I'm walking through the building. And it's just, it's like an airy circle of friends, I guess you could word it.
And it's interesting because it seems like the people on the outside want to keep these secrets. And it's like the spirits on the inside want these secrets to be told. And so
I think that
you're kind of in the middle of that.
I think the building is interacting with people that come there. The town itself is just a very conservative town, and it's a very religious town. And so things like tarot cards and all that are misunderstood and instantly looked at as evil. And so, but there was a lot of crime in this community too. There was mafia and everything else. It was a brutal community when it first sprung up, the coal mining community. There was so much money being unearthed overnight. It just had all kinds of stuff go on. If you were spoke about unionizing, you just disappeared and that kind of thing. Wow. Went on all the time.
What do you know about the history of the building? It was built
in the 1890s, around 1895, the whole community sprung up in one movement, that the town was created by the coal mining company for to be a coal mining town, and including their money system. Everyone was paid in company money. You had to shop at the company store. There were several hotels in town at the time, and this was not the only brothel. There were several brothels, and it was all to kind of entrap men from, I believe, Eastern Europe, it just made money, like money, money, money. That was the whole concern. There was it was all pre-labor laws, and so little kids had to work in the mines. Mines would collapse on people. It was really brutal for a while there.
So that kind of makes sense to what you're dealing with now. Like, things happened back then. We don't want to dig that stuff up. Because I could imagine there was some organized crime in that area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was built as a hotel, also used as a brothel. And how long was it in use for?
As a hotel?
Yeah.
I think it closed around 74, something like that. That was, and it was, there was a bar that had different names. It was the Midway Cafe. And in the end, it was called the Kaleidoscope. It was like a hippie bar, which was kind of progressive for this area and community at the time. And that was, it had just a couple of people living here that ran the bar. It wasn't really being used as a hotel at that time. And so I think that closed in the first half of the 70s. And then there was one woman living there for the rest of its years. And when she died, the building just sat empty. And then we came in and rescued it to the town's they weren't thrilled about that.
And how many rooms does it have?
It's a 32 room building.
So it's big, and it's three stories.
Three stories. And then we discovered a whole attic, which even the owners that sold it to us didn't know that was there. We were trying to figure out how to get up on the roof because water was coming in. A lot of water was coming in, and we couldn't find any entry. So we just cut a hole in the ceiling, and we were like, "Hey, there's a whole room up here, and it's the size of the building. I mean, it looks like a whale's rib cage or something. It's the attic. It's just this giant room." But even the old owners didn't know about it. We scoured every inch of it. There was nothing up there, like nothing hidden or anything, but still a giant. So there's a fourth, you can stand. It's a whole fourth floor if you wanted to make it into something.
It's not really a hotel now, but people live there or can stay there.
It's my private home. Okay. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
It's just you living there now. And is there kind of extended stay? Maybe some people, they might even be friends, kind of stay there from time to time? Or do you rent out rooms?
So it's changed a lot in the last 3 years. It was kind of like a hippie commune, but it was gothic instead of hippie-ish. And so it was a group of us. At one point, I think it was like up to 9 people. And we were all sort of on top of each other. There was a lot of drama. But it was neat as a social experiment. And then I went on to Airbnb and tried that. And that was a real fail. That people were not reading the details that this is like a novelty place and that it's haunted and et cetera, et cetera. And so we had like these old couples coming in. They were horrified at their experience once they got in there. And I thought, I don't like this feeling at all. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm unhappy every night that people are here and they're unhappy. After a while that stopped. I moved everybody out because I bought several other buildings. And so I owned the building next door and the next one down, and I completely cleared out the hotel to make it completely empty for teams to come. Because before, when teams would come, we were kind of poking around in the background, and this way everyone's more isolated. It's spookier to be, I just lock them in the building alone. And so I changed the whole model of the living. So right now it's just, if you were to like rent it for a Saturday night, you go in and you're entirely alone in there. And I'm next door. Like I can hear, sometimes when people scream, I can hear them through the walls. So it's not like I can rush over if there's a problem.
And you have different rooms in there that like you have the Frankenstein room, werewolf room. They're kind of themed and they look so creepy to me. They really
That wasn't for renters though. That was just my decor as a private home that I came from Hollywood. I love Universal Monsters. And so I just sort of started the first one was the mermaid room. Someone gave us something mermaidy. I can't remember what it was. Let's say a shell. And so that became the mermaid room. And then suddenly it just started collecting things. And then one day the whole room was decorated to the nines with mermaid items. And it just sort of grew like that. And so different rooms got assigned things. And I felt like I was window dressing as I was cultivating each room. And I enjoyed living in them. I bounced around. I would sleep in different rooms at different times. And so now that's all available to guests that come. But it has nothing to do with the building's history. So I have to be real distinct about that. Like our canopy room, which has the most attention brought to it. That room has a couple items that spit out paranormal evidence, but it has not. They are not from the building. They came from other sources, and so you have to look at that room. But when you're going in there, there's the room which has a haunted history, and then there's these items which have nothing to do with the room, and kind of bombard psychics when they come in the building. They're just like, yow, there's things coming from everywhere, and I can't even separate them, and which I'm doing on purpose. But there's a they have to make a distinction between genuine history and then wacky stuff from other places.
Andy, I'm going to guess, because people have heard about you and they're like, man, I've had this creepy ass doll forever. I'm not comfortable with it. And I read somewhere in an interview where you're like, we'll take it. So I imagine you've had quite a few items donated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't even know their history necessarily.
That's correct. Some of them I do not. And I'll say this, demonologists think I'm nuts when I talk this way. But the way I live in this building and is I'm in charge, and that's just how I carry myself. And when I walk around the building and I'm talking to the rooms and stuff, I give the orders. That's the way my mindset is. And I've never been threatened. There's not. So I'm open to bringing anything in here. If you have some item, I have no problem taking it on. And I just feel like this is how I believe, that if you're right with God, you don't have to worry about anything. And I don't worry about anything. So there's all kinds of stuff that have energy in the building and different vibrations. And some of it is darker, but I'm not concerned one speck about living in that environment. And guests are like, I don't know about that. So I'm just being honest with the world. That's how I live there. And that's, I have a daughter and that's how I raise her too. I say, you are in charge. You give the orders. And so that's how I raise my child as well, involved with the police. And I had a demonologist. His name is Adam Bly. He was on the show Paranormal State. He moved in for a while and he had the complete opposite paradigm. Like, so he was horrified with the building and he just thought everything was demonic and demons everywhere. And I don't think that. I don't see the building that way. And they just reached a point after like 5 years where I was just like, I don't know why you live in this building of all buildings, because it's only going to get worse. And so he needed to move on. But sometimes when demonologists come here, they're different than ghost hunters and not really. And I'm doing a lot of magical stuff too. Like I'm coming at this not, I didn't move here to run a paranormal sideshow on the side. And I mean, I'm doing that as a hobby. I moved here to be involved with magic, but the whole paranormal community, which I'm fully open to letting come in here, that's a secondary thing. This is my home I'm opening up. I didn't start this out as a business to do that.
One thing I do want to ask you is how the origin story for the Ouija board on the rooftop. And this is, it is the world's largest, or there's like two really big Ouija boards, I think. This one,
yeah,
and there's,
yeah,
another one that's outside somewhere, not on a rooftop. How did that idea come about to put that up there?
Okay. So I'm a tarot guy. I love tarot cards, but I'm not a Ouija guy. And we painted the world's largest, Terrence Kaufman, a local artist. I had him paint the world's largest tarot card on our ceiling. So the universe card from the Crowley deck is on our ceiling in a room. And it was nice. It like got nice feedback.
It is beautiful. He did an amazing job with that.
Yeah. And we've only experienced like a lot of bad feedback up to that point. Like the community was not horrified by us, and we let teams come here occasionally, but it wasn't on the map so much. It was more of a secret place. And so we'd gotten an awful lot of bad feedback, and suddenly something felt good. So we were thinking along the lines of like, well, let's keep going with this vibe. Let's keep like, you know, let's bring some more nice attention to the building and the community and all that. And so my ex and I were playing with this couple that were coming, a lot of Ouija this one season. And again, it's not really my back. It's not so much my thing, but the idea of the roof is like a big blank canvas. Let's put it on the roof. And so we got about, I think it was like 5 or 6 friends, and it was not so difficult. Like when you think about it, a Ouija board is a stencil. It was more the idea of like, who does that, put the Ouija board on the roof, rather than how hard it was. And so we painted this Ouija board. It rained on it, and that weekend, so the whole thing bled like mascara.
Oh no!
It looked super cool, but it was ruined. So we had to redo the whole surface, and then paint the whole thing again, and which we did. And then Guinness gave us the award for that too, and it got horrible feedback. People were very upset in the community, and I was reading in real time all the people in the buildings behind me, where people were screaming like, I can see it from my kitchen window. And this lady started a petition. She had like 250 names demanding that we remove our roof. People thought it was this other hotel in town that's an actual public hotel. And so they were getting like shame comments on their webpage.
Oh, no.
and hate mail. And it, like, it was, it, their articles were worldwide. I remember this lady came from Germany to interview us. And so it was kind of scary how much attention it got immediately, and it's all like negative. And we had that for years, and finally I just cut like a little hut up there so that people could go up there and see it, because at the time you couldn't access it, and so now when people stay, that's like one of the, everyone wants to get their photograph up on the roof, and so that's become pretty popular. There was a group, this was years later, I heard about, out of Boston. They're the people that run the Ouija Museum. They got the new award, and they'd hashtagged Guinness World Records and stuff. And so it's called Ouijizilla. And it's a beautiful board. It really is. But it has all these doodles all over it. You can tell a tattoo artist made it. It's got a big Godzilla painted on it. And I thought, that's odd, because Guinness was such a stickler with us. Like, they wouldn't let us deviate in any way. And this board is very, you know, it's all over the place. It's beautiful, but it's all over the place. So I called them up and I congratulated them. And then Guinness called me and they said, yo, we didn't get, you still have the award. We didn't give them the award. That we can't really talk about why not or anything, but they didn't get the Guinness Award. And I was like, what?
I still have it.
So then, like, these people and I got in this big fight, and they never talked to me again, and they went, you know, they blocked me and won't take my calls, and so it's kind of goofy. I mean, what do you do? These two massive Ouija board people are battling or something. But anyway, so that's the backstory. The board's still gorgeous, and I think Ripley's, believe it or not, gave them an award for it. And so that's where it stands.
And I think it's interesting because it's a three-story building. It's not like people are having to walk by it and go, oh, there's the Ouija board. They can't see it.
It just made everything worse. They're like, yeah. they thought we were Satanists. And then once that happened, they were like they're creating a portal for the county and you know, portal to hell. And it just, so many people have showed up at my events, like ministers and stuff, and said, you know, we need to talk. And
I think it's so interesting that there are some locations I've talked to where the community has really embraced them. They're like, we might not totally understand it, but that was a empty building. You're bringing some life back into town. People are coming in, they're eating at restaurants and stuff. So they see it as a positive, where they're just beating you up.
Yeah, I'm fine now. I endured for years, and they see that I'm fixing up buildings, and so like I'm buying any old building in town that would be for sale for cheap. I'm just trying to scoop up and repair, and so they do see that, and they see them Good. Planting flowers and trees and all that, and so Good. And they see I'm not some space alien now. I'm a father with a child, and so I think they're kind of changing their opinion a little, but there's still a lot of murmurs. And who knows? At this point, I don't even know what people are saying about it. There's so many videos online. I haven't even had time to watch them all. That I just like, I'm just still in this train of, okay, you're the next team, you're the next team, you're the next team. And so I'm not even concerned with it anymore.
Despite the fact you've been there since, what, 2001?
A long time.
You think they'd be like, hey, why don't you join the Chamber of Commerce?
No, it's not happening yet.
Not yet. You still have time. Maybe in the next 20 years. Once you painted the Ouija board on the roof, though, did you see a spike in activity in the house? Did anything, or in the hotel, did anything change?
Actually, before we did that, there was a change in that the 2 years that for one day, I remember thinking, there's nothing going on. I'm talking about activity. I don't feel anything in the building. And then that led to 2 weeks and then 2 months. And there was this period where just everything stopped. And about a year into it, I was turning teams away that asked me. Back then, that was still people just approaches occasionally. And I was turning people away and saying, I'm telling you, there's nothing, there's no activity. And I thought, well, I mean, who's really an expert on haunted houses? Maybe they just dry up sometimes. And this went on for 2 years, nothing, not even a strange dream, nothing. And then when we put the Ouija board on the roof, everything kicked back. I mean, everything just like kicked back in. And it kind of went above and beyond for a little bit, like about 2 months. It was real weird. Everybody was freaking out in the building in a good way. I mean, but still like freaking out. Like we had pets that were acting strange and wouldn't go in certain rooms and all this stuff. All I can attribute to is the board on the roof. And then everything sort of went back down to normal. Now it's been just its consistent normal self since. I don't feel like anything's overly evil or no one's being pushed out windows, but it feels like a very solid, neutral paranormal experience here.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the Grand Midway Hotel with owner Blair Murphy. If you'd like more information on the hotel, check out their website, grandmidwayhotel.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, Or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. You'll find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.